Hi everyone, this is Scott Tripp back again with Blockcast and the great Alex Cooper from Footprint Analytics back on the show again today.
Hey everybody. He
got to go to an amazing show down in the States. He should probably tell us a little bit about it, I guess, once he introduces himself. I forgot to mention that as well.
Oh yeah, so everybody, my name's Alex. I'm with Footprint Analytics. I'm the core North American community member here. And I was just down in Consensus about 3 weeks ago, and it was sweet down in Austin, Texas there. I saw a lot of cool new protocols, and actually I was really, really surprised on a bunch of the focus on the event this year. It was a lot of layer ones, layer twos, and zero knowledge proof protocols, which I'm also quite bullish on. Maybe we can touch on that later. Thanks again for having me, Scott. I always love coming on these shows. Let's kind of get started. I guess it's my turn to really go. To start off, I wanted to start with a quick old price report of cryptocurrency today. So I'll start with Bitcoin. Bitcoin at this moment is at $27,500. We took about the last 24 hours took about a 2% dip. Ethereum's at $1,833, took a 1.6% dip. And BNB's at $314, took a 0.7% dip. You know how everything is. Once Bitcoin goes down, pretty much everything else goes down. But other than that, you know, it's just the beginning of the day today. Hoping to see some better things. And with that being said, let's kind of just hop into the meat and potatoes of today's video.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we'll get this going here. I will share the screen here when I pop it up. I'm going to start with this one because I find this interesting, and then the other article that will kind of back it in a different sense, which I like when that happens. So on crypto news here, we have SEC Chair Gary Gensler, or Gensler, argues that rules already exist to regulate crypto in light of Coinbase's pushback.
Sorry to interrupt, Scott, but that picture just pisses me off.
Gary of his Gensler smiley right face?
Yeah, that just...
Oh, it's frustrating. U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler pushed back against Coinbase's call to have the agency propose and adopt rules for digital assets. Gensler was asked on Monday during Atlanta's Fed's 2023 financial market conference comment on the dispute with Coinbase, why the SEC does not want to publish crypto rules. The rules have already been published, Gensler says. To make it quite direct, this is a field that has been operating largely non-compliant. Rules are already out there governing exchanges, broker deals, advisors, custodying assets, and how to register security offerings, he said. This is nothing about a new technology that makes it non-consistent with public policies, Gensler added. Coinbase filed a petition in July 2022 asking for the agency to propose and adopt rules for digital assets while criticizing its enforcement's first approach, which is very true. And they're fighting back even harder the last little while. I've been watching Coinbase making comments and saying stuff about Gensler's approach. And there's other places that are doing the same thing, and they're actually starting to back each other up with money for these lawsuits and stuff against Gensler, which is impressive in my eyes. But
yeah, you know, it's always nice though when you see the big corporations fighting against the government, especially against things that really just benefit the whole community, especially the crypto community as a whole. So it's always nice to see that. And, you know, going with the whole Coinbase thing, it still, like, I've talked to protocols upon protocols, and, you know, they say that there's regulations out there, and there is, right, when it comes to registering a token. Mm-hmm. But where are the regulations for everything else? You know, Gary's saying that there is regulations out there already, but for what? That's really what I have to say about that. You know, especially Scott, you know, you're working here or helping out DeFi protocol, you know, where are the regulations for that?
Yeah, there is none. You know, like he keeps on saying the Howey test, and we'll show that on the next article. But I mean, there needs to be a new eye on this, and they need to realize in the end, how much this is impacting the US market right now, the way that they're going against cryptocurrency versus other countries even. I don't think they're realizing the larger impact. And we're getting the same thing here in Canada, as you see Binance just pulled out of Canada.
I was not very impressed when I got that email that said October 1st, Binance is pulling out. So make sure everything is done. I mean, I got five more months, and then there goes one of my favorite exchanges to use in Canada, which, you know, I was going to kind of touch on that point too. You know, it's not just the U.S. that is kind of lacking on these regulations. It's also Canada as well. But it's lacking in a different way. I think the regulations in Canada are not very fair for the Canadian people just trying to use exchanges, right? There's always that argument that we see with, you know, you're driving business, you were driving institutions out of these countries, right? And, you know, even at the end of the day, it's a new technology, might not be regulated, but it's still providing jobs. It's still providing things for people to use effectively, right? And it's just, I really just don't think that these regulations are designed to be for the best of
the people. Yeah, I agree. Here, and we'll go on to this next article, which I picked it because it's kind of a little bit of an opposite of what Gensler is saying. Mm-hmm. So XRP lawsuit sees new twists and turns as Ripple Council exposes slippery slope in crypto regulation. Just ahead of an expected ruling in the ongoing court case between the SEC and Ripple, Stuart Alderotti, chief legal officer at Ripple, said the REVAC case expresses yet another SEC sleight of hand. Without a common enterprise, it matters not whether the fortunes of investors are tied to the efforts of others. The Howey test is not so easily satisfied. By broadly interpreting common enterprises, the SEC's approach to regulating cryptocurrencies enables the agency to avoid tying the terms to specific transactions, instead concentrate on the adjective common. The legal counsel for Ripple has recognized this and is contending that all that is required is a common interest in opposing the SEC's attempt to extend the Howey test. Australia's crypto law commentator Bill Morgan added his views. To put this and Stewart's tweet in context, the starting point is to recognize that the SEC is trying to massively stretch the Howey test to cover crypto on the grounds the court intended to be flexible, he said in a tweet. The SEC has cited evidence showing that Ripple boasted about the alignment of its interests with those who have XRP, but Ripple's attorney have refuted this claim by arguing that this is just a common interest using the example of gold. Nevertheless, other cryptocurrencies may be affected by the SEC's attempt to reduce common enterprise to common interest. The use of the Howey test by the SEC has been a source of controversy in the crypto industry, as the agency has attempted to apply the test to cryptocurrencies and initial coin offerings. As a result, many in the industry have argued that the test does not apply to crypto and that the SEC has been overreaching in its attempt to regulate the space. And the funny thing is, it's not just like crypto companies that are doing this. This is actually their own Senate and people in their own government saying, you guys are stretching this way too far and you're pushing your regulations way harder than we want you to, and there needs to be an overlook on this all now.
You know, I'm of the big opinion here, and I was talking to some other protocols with founders with traditional finance backgrounds and regulation backgrounds, and, you know, instead of fighting the commodity, the SEC and the commodities of the states fighting, why don't they just make a whole new regulatory body that just only focuses on cryptocurrency? Why are we fighting about this? Why don't we just create something new? Take existing employees, put them over there, and let's just have one agency that focuses on the regulations for crypto. Let's let the SEC focus on securities. Let's let commodities focus on commodities. And then let's let the crypto regulation agency, or whatever they want to call it, focus on crypto regulations. I think this is the smoothest way to get things done as quick and seamlessly as possible, right? It just makes no sense. It seems like we're just wasting time and driving institutions out of North America, right? And, you know, we've seen the Congress get mad at that, right? I think we talked about that last video, right? There is just no good reason for these regulations to take so long. And I know we talk about decentralization regulations, right? But there needs to be a foundation in place for this giant sandbox that everyone is playing in, okay? There needs to be regulations that say, hey, look, we don't take rocks into this sandbox. Hey, look, we are not going to put this sandbox and fill it with grass. No, okay? We need just a basic foundation so that people can play. And I think really the focus here is that I think the SEC and everything is trying to focus on the wrong things to make people happier about, you know, the scams and the stigma behind everything, right? It's, you know, I don't think these regulations that are going in place or that the SEC wants to fight for are going to do anything for when it comes to, you know, to people losing money through scams. These scams are still going to happen. But now we're just going to take the blame on the business as an easy scapegoat instead of, you know, working and talking with people in the industry hand in hand instead of fighting with them. And let's work something out. And, you know, once we get this foundation in place, then we can start making more and more targeted regulations against these people that are just truly abusing the system, right? Again, we get it. It's supposed to go against banks. It's supposed to be a hedge against inflation, right? But, you know, we have also seen crypto as a great way to launder money. It is a great way to take other people's money and not be held accountable for it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's such a small portion of the whole of the community as a whole. We always hear about the amount of money that gets lost every year, but we also are not really hearing about the amount of money that's getting put in each year. And the amount of money that gets put in each year is way more than the amount that's getting stolen. But, you know, we're targeting the people that are putting the money in instead of the money or people that are taking the money away and doing malicious things with it. And I just think right now the focus is skewed, and it can be realigned better once we start just working together. And, you know, we stop this fight of government sucks, crypto good, and the government saying government good, crypto bad. Why don't we just work together and figure it out?
Well, and here is an example, the DOJ. So DOJ chief targets crypto mixers and exchanges to curb money laundering. So it just basically says, on top of enforcing laws on exchanges, the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team will also target crypto mixers and tumblers, which have been a pain point for authorities. Criminals have used these services to prevent the tracing of the funds, aiding money laundering, and the DOJ has taken related action in the past. And then this one, of course, is on Binance. Among the actions the DOJ has taken is launching a probe against Binance for its possible violations of sanctions against Russia. The DOJ is investigating whether Russians managed to access the exchange. The DOJ has seized funds on various occasions, most recently in April when it took control of $112 million in crypto and other assets during a pig butchering scam crackdown. Crypto lender Silverbank is also under investigation by the DOJ. The United States, which has long been criticized for lack of crypto regulation, is gearing up to launch more substantive regulation. There's never been a crackdown saying that they don't regulate it enough. They've been pushing for regulation, an umbrella, kind of like over everything that isn't working. They need to be, like you said, crypto mixers, I get. Money laundering, I get. Like, these are things that they shouldn't just work as the U.S. This should be Korea, USA, Dubai, all these guys teaming up together and say, okay, this transaction isn't good. Let's shut this down before it becomes something. These guys aren't allowed to do this. But I mean, depending on where the exchanges can go, the states can say Binance funded or helped launder money from Russia. But if Binance didn't use the Binance in the US, they use their global Binance office, which wherever it is based, doesn't have any regulation against Russia or using, I guess, allowing them to access funds, then that's going to, of course, probably stop their lawsuit. But in the same sense, there needs to be a global regulation against people laundering money and stuff like that. I totally 100% understand and agree with it. But there's a fine line too, right? Like where we got to watch what we allow the governments to do, because we're going to end up in the same place as we did with what's happening in the US now. What's happening in Argentina, I believe, is they just rose their interest rates by 97% as of recently today. So, I mean, that just tells you like inflation is continuing to rise. And I think the only way that they're going to be able to fight this inflation in the end is cryptocurrency and blockchain.
You know, and you touched on crypto mixtures. I said this last. I think that is probably one of the riskiest endeavors you could put yourself into right now is creating a crypto mixture, because, you know, I get the benefits of it, which, you know, are nice, right? You know, but people are using them in malicious ways. And I think it's really hard to create a mixer that really prevents these non-genuine users from laundering money or laundering stolen funds through it, right? That's the whole point. It makes it pretty much untraceable. It makes it very, very hard, damn near impossible, I would say, Scott, to track these funds once they run through a mixer. And, you know, I get it too. And you're right. You know, like we were saying, it is a hedge against inflation, but I just don't know. I think I don't really know what else to say other than that, like, you know, you are right. There needs to be regulations, but there's a fine line about how much we can give, right? You know that old saying, yeah, we'll give an inch, well, and then they take a mile. Well, we got to give an inch and make sure that they only use this inch.
Yeah.
So Going forward, what were you about to say, Scott?
I was going to say these CBDCs are the perfect example. We're going to allow them to do this and then be able to print money the exact same way they're doing it now, which defeats the purpose of it because there's no regulation on the amount that they have. There's nothing that tells people, I can go to this blockchain and I can look at this and say there's this much of this money. They don't want it that way. And that's where we have to break what is currently happening with the US market and what's happening even in the Canadian market with our inflation as a whole. It's going to get worse unless we do something about it. And that's just fact.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, printing out of money. There's an article, a video I saw of someone, I can't remember who in the government, there's someone in the Treasury's department, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, maybe we do print money out of thin air, but guess what? We're the government. We're the
government. Yeah. I seen that same one. Brutal. Yeah,
I think that is just so funny, right? Then they get mad at tokens for having unlimited supply.
Yeah. Well, and that brings us to the next topic I know you wanted to talk about. I'm very much interested in hearing about is the meme tokens.
Yeah, meme coins, man. Meme coin season is upon us, right? Ever since Pepe, we've been seeing meme coins explode, right? We've seen after Elon Musk tweeted that Milady meme, we saw Milady meme coins skyrocket, Lady skyrocket. We've seen Turbo skyrocket, WEN token. Now, all you guys that are listening here, please don't be just automatically aping into these meme coins because I said their name. There's a lot of research that you have to be done with meme coins. And, you know, I'm going to keep it real with you as well. Like, I put some money into these meme coins, and guess what? Guess who's down? That's right. This guy right here. So really take a lot, like, do a lot of research on these meme coins. Really, like, know your metrics. Know Know your market cap. Know the signs, all right? Take a look at the community. Make sure the team's docs, all this sort of stuff before we look into meme coins. Now, meme coins, I think, as volatile as they are, and boy, are they volatile, I actually think meme coins are relatively, it's a double-edged sword for the community, because I think, you know, it's a great way for people to kind of dip their toes in the crypto and not have to worry about utility, not have to chase a team down. It's a meme coin. There is no utility. It's a token that people put money into and hope that goes rockets, right? You know, you're going to get people that, oh, it's about the meme coin community. Let's be real, buddy. Let's be real, okay? We know why you're investing in these meme coins, but it's fun, okay? It's fun. Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down, and sometimes you really go up. And that's just the point of the market. But I think it's a great way for people who are kind of skeptical of cryptocurrency, but, you know, are still degens at heart and, you know, love that gamble, right? You know, they let's bring it back to traditional markets. Same kind of guys that like to invest in penny stocks, right? Yeah. It's the same sort of thing. And this is a great way for those kind of traders to break into crypto and get them adopted on. Now, like I said, it's still not the best, right? There's still a lot of research you have to do into these meme coins, but it's a good starting point, right? And then from there, you can start learning about NFTs, GameFi, even DeFi. Like, DeFi is a great natural next step for someone that is super into meme coins. I think, you know, if you like the volatility and you like day trading, DeFi is a great next step once we've explored into meme coins. Now, let's keep it real, right? We saw Pepe explode. We've seen Pepe millionaires. And now what, Pepe's down 94% from their all-time high? This is stuff that we need to look at and we need to realize, because, you know, chances are these coins have probably run their cycle, right? Like, the, you know, and I hate to say it, but with the meme coins, you really want to make money. You got to do it off the beginning, the initial drop. And it might skyrocket 6,000%. But if you buy in at that 6,000% mark, be prepared to lose 90% of what you've put in. And it's just something that people need to realize is kind of fun, right? It's fun interacting with the community, but, you know, not everything rockets, and something might rocket once, but it's not going to rocket twice. It might rocket twice, but is it going to do it 2 days after it went down 90%? Probably not. And, another thing I would always have to say is, don't be afraid to hold, right? There's always, we see the price go down and, you know, we see the price go down, we see, and then people FOMO when they start selling and the price goes down even more, all right? Yeah. But just sometimes it's just better to say, have a little bit of patience when dealing with these meme coins. But I think, of course, the most important aspect is to fully go in and take a look at this coin. What makes it? And what, after the drop, what kind of things can happen to make it go up again? Let's look at the signs, right? Bigger community, right? Influencers, Twitter space, marketing is on arguably it's probably huge. The most important part for meme coins, because there's no inherent utility, right? That's why we see stuff like when Elon Musk makes a tweet about a meme coin, right? Do I agree with that? No, but what can I do about it?
Well, and the only thing to do is, once these meme coins have hit their point of like going astronomical, they need to come up with a utility with the money that they have invested, right? If they're not putting a utility into that token, then it's going to do what Pepe did and it's going to drop down 90%. If they don't continue to build and innovate, say like a Shiba did there, and even there, they're suffering from the beginning, but are they going to go back up? I see it in the future definitely going back up, because they are adding extra utility and things into their project that make it better. And that's the whole idea behind it, is once they have this money, they need to have the proper team and the proper stuff behind it to grow properly and continue the growth. And these exchanges jumping on them and starting shorting and starting this other stuff with these meme coins, I'm scared might be a bit of a dangerous ground. But in the same sense, it's a great way for people to gamble, make a little bit extra money if they wanted to as well. But I mean, that's what it comes down to. And then when you're playing with memes at the very beginning, you need to realize it's exactly like gambling. That's what it's about, and that's how it works. So if you take that risk, the inherent risk in it, then be prepared to suffer the consequences. Either you take your money out early, get your bag and keep a little bit in it, or don't play in this market at all. That you need to know what you're doing, and you need to know what you're looking for and how to look for it and what to do. That's my only advice for everyone that's involved in this. Do your due diligence, do your education, like Alex said, and that's the only way to move forward with these. I do believe in meme coins because I think it's perfect way to raise funds for large corporations that are going to be ruling in the future potentially as well. So it's something that's never going to go away. It's always going to be here. You just got to look at what they're doing with the funds that they get, and are they doing it properly, or are they taking out funds and not giving back to the community? That's the only questions you kind of got to ask yourself.
Right. And I guess with that being said, Scott, I think this is a great time to kind of wrap her up here.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just want to say thanks again, Scott, for bringing me on. I want to thank Blockcast for, you know, continuing the series with me. And, you know, here's my time to shill at Footprint Analytics. If you want to look at the data, right, we talked about meme coins. Let's look at meme coin data. We have it here at Footprint, right? Let's look at the trends. Let's look at the market cap. Let's look at these whales investing in. We have that here at Footprint Analytics. And if you're curious, you want to learn more, or you want to build using our data, we have an API. We have a Web3 CRM tool to help you harness your users for better airdrop analysis. All this great stuff. Not only that, you can find better potential users. We got wallet tagging, wallet profiles, all with our Footprint Growth Analytics. Really powerful tool. And not only that, we just added a new tab on our website. If you go to footprint.network, we got a research tab, and this will give you a whole holistic overview of the NFT market and the GameFi market as well. You can help identify trends, wash trading, all that great stuff. So remember, again, our website's footprint.network. And yeah, I wanted to thank you again, Scott. And I want to thank the viewers here for listening to us. If you really liked what we're talking about today, or you want to keep seeing us talk about these great things, you know, like, subscribe, share with your friends, or and leave us a comment. What do you guys want to see us talk about in the upcoming episodes, right? What do you want to see from us? Or just give us some tips and tricks, all right? We're here to do better and provide you guys with the best information possible. That's true. So that's why we're here. And with that, I'll give it back to you, Scott.
All right. And you guys come in, see blockcast.cc as well. Come check out the news on there, on our Twitter. We're updating with news as it breaks as fast as we can most times. So take a look at our tweets and see what's going on. That will give you a good gauge of what's happening in the crypto community as well. So thank you so much for tuning in, and make sure to follow, like he said, and make sure to listen for more great videos from ourselves. So thank you so much, and we'll be talking to you guys all soon.
Bye. See you guys later.
Bye bye.